Hi there, this is Pastor Bill Woods, and I want to go on and talk a little bit more about some of the things that happened right after Christ's resurrection. And today I want to talk about when eye contact seems impossible. You know, one time I got home and my dog Shadow, he didn't greet me like he usually does. I remember he immediately slinked out of the room, which was suspicious because he always jumped and yipped excitingly when I got home. I called him. I said, here's Shadow. And he kind of tried to ignore me, but finally he guiltily slinked out. You know, he was trying to hide and he came out and I knew something was amiss. He avoided making any kind of eye contact with me. And then I found out what it was. He had left a mess in the dining room that had to be cleaned up. And he was afraid that he was going to be in a whole lot of trouble. You know, when a dog knows he has done something wrong, he acts that way. And sometimes guilty people act that way too. I think there's a story like that. Well, I know there's a story like that in John chapter 21, 1 through 19, New Living Translation. It's a long portion of scripture, but bear with me. Later, Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. And this is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there: Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the Twin, Nathanael from Cana of Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Simon Peter said, "I'm going fishing." "We'll come too," they all said, so they went out in the boat, but they caught nothing all night. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, "Fellows, have you caught any fish?" "No," they replied. Then he said, "Throw out your net on the right side of the boat and you'll get some." So they did. And they didn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work. He jumped into the water and headed to shore. The others stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were only about 100 yards from shore. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them, fish cooking over a charcoal fire and some bread. "Bring some of the fish you've just caught," Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to the shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net hadn't torn. "Now come and have some breakfast," Jesus said. None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus served them the bread and the fish, and this was the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he had been raised from the dead. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," Peter replied, "you know I love you." "Then feed my lambs," Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Well, yes, Lord," Peter said, "you know I love you." "Then take care of my sheep," Jesus said. A third time he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time, and he said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep. I'll tell you the truth. When you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go." Jesus said this to let him know by what kind of death he would glorify God. Then Jesus told him, "Follow me." So how does God feel when we are not following him? Maybe you're out of step with God and you're not sure how he feels about you right now. If that's you, pay attention to Peter's story. When Jesus commissioned Peter into service the first time, what did he tell him to do? In Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, it says, "One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew. They were throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." Peter was a fisherman for fish. Jesus changed Peter's career by giving him a new vocation. He was now to fish for people. Peter was a rough hulk of a man. He was self-sufficient, accustomed to taking care of himself and others. But right now, Peter was suffering more than any other disciples from the guilt because he had denied knowing Jesus three different times. Now Jesus had been crucified and resurrected. Peter knew Jesus was alive, but his relationship with Jesus had changed. It wasn't the same as it used to be when Jesus was before he was crucified. Peter didn't sit at his master's feet to learn anymore. The rooster had crowed three times, and Peter had let Jesus, his Lord, down. Now the resurrected Jesus rarely appeared in public, and it was becoming less and less of an occasion. Now Peter wondered what his future held. That they had three wonderful years, but they were over, or were they all over? Where could he go from here? Peter wondered. The glow was off his life. Peter had followed Jesus after receiving his commission to fish for men. Peter was discouraged and had returned to his old lifestyle now because he didn't know how to put his life back together after that horrible incident of Christ being crucified and then the resurrection and all the emotion that was involved. Even after spending 3 years with Jesus, Peter still had an independent streak. Those 3 years seemed like a dream now. Now he reverted back to his old ways. He went fishing. Instead of following Jesus, who had given him direction for 3 years, he retreated to his safety zone where he was most comfortable. Not only did Peter revert back to his old ways, he also brought his friends with him, causing them to stumble in their walk with Jesus. How did Jesus respond knowing that his number one man had abandoned the cause? John chapter 21, verses 4 and 5. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, "Fellows, have you caught any fish?" "No," they replied. Jesus called them friends, but the disciples didn't realize it was him. "Do you have any fish?" he asked. Did Jesus rebuke them for going backward in their walk with him? Was he angry? Did he say, "What's the matter with you blockheads? Didn't you learn anything in those 3 years I spent with you? I'm disgusted with all of you, and especially with you, Peter. You're supposed to be a leader, and you're leading my sheep astray." No, Jesus didn't say that. That didn't happen. Jesus didn't rebuke them. He simply helped them see that their efforts at finding satisfaction apart from him were fruitless. All he said was, "How's the fishing?" They looked at each other, like fishermen do when they've been skunked. Jesus gave them a suggestion in John 21:6, says, "Then he said, 'Throw your net on the right-hand side of the boat and you'll get some.' So they did, and they couldn't haul the net because there were so many fish in it." So we have now the carpenter telling the fisherman how to catch fish. Amazingly, Peter responded. This had happened before in Luke chapter 5, verse 5, where it says, "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all last night, didn't catch a thing, but if you say so, I'll let the nets down again." Well, this time when they let the nets down, they caught a huge haul of those slimy, stinky, nasty fish. You see, Jesus knew I couldn't be one of the original disciples because I just can't stand fish. I mean, he wanted to put me in a generation with hamburgers and steaks and stuff like that. But anyhow, when the disciples recognized it was Jesus on shore, Peter jumped into the water and just about drowned as he swam desperately to meet Jesus. Jesus had a fire and had cooked breakfast for Peter and the others. It was a glad reunion, but what was going on in Peter's mind right now? He had to be very uncomfortable. He had to, just be terribly uncomfortable during breakfast. It was good to see Jesus again, to know that death couldn't hold him. This was the third time, but Peter remembered that he had denied Christ and let him down when Jesus needed him most. He wondered what Jesus was thinking about him. Did he think that Peter was a traitor? Did he think that Peter was worthless, not worth his time? Peter also felt that the other disciples were staring at him. They'd heard his brash promises, and then they'd witnessed his cowardly action. Peter was so ashamed. He must have been jumpy and nervous, hardly able to carry on a conversation, and he certainly didn't make any kind of eye contact with anyone, especially with Jesus. He was kind of like a naughty dog that just wouldn't look at his master, you know. Peter tried to steer the conversations away from anything serious, especially the events just passed. He didn't want Jesus to reprimand him. He was afraid to hear what Jesus might say. In fact, I think Peter probably lost his appetite, which would show how much stress he was under because Peter always had a good appetite. But he knew Jesus' plan for him was to proclaim the gospel. His calling now was to be a fisher for men, and I imagine Peter dreaded those words of rebuke from Jesus. In fact, I think while he was swimming ahead, he was doing that so that the rest of the guys with him wouldn't hear Jesus reprimand him. He expected Jesus to say, "Why are you fishing, Peter? I called you to something so much better." But what Jesus did say was on that beach that morning says so much more about how Jesus deals with his children when we have slipped away. John chapter 21, verse 15 says, "After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' 'Well, yes, Lord,' Peter replied. 'You know I love you.' 'Then feed my lambs,' Jesus told him." There are three different words for love in the Greek language. There's agape, which means unconditional love, like God has. There's philia, meaning brotherly love or friendship. And there's eros, meaning romantic love. Jesus asked Peter if he loved him with God's unconditional agape love. And he compared Peter's love for him to the old way of life with the words, "more than these." Peter was cut by those words, and they played back in his head, and he had to think, "Do I have complete unconditional love for Jesus? He knows that I denied him and failed him." Peter didn't know how to answer. He stammered as he said, "You know I have affection, filial love for you." Jesus' response to that was, "Feed my sheep." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" Agape love again. Peter answered, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And he was using filial love. Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." Jesus asked again, but this time he dropped the comparison, "more than these." Peter didn't know what to do with the word agape, meaning unconditional love, and it must have sounded pitiful even to Peter's ears when he forced out, "Yes, Jesus, you know I like you a lot." Jesus responded, "Take care of my sheep." He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you," again using filial. Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." John chapter 21, 17 says, a third time he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt when Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep." Now, in their conversation, Jesus had moved all the way to Peter. He no longer asked if Peter had unconditional love for him. He now said, "Peter, do you truly have affection for me? Are you even my friend?" Jesus rephrased his question three times, each time moving toward the place where Peter could respond to him. You know, Jesus does the same thing with you and me. He's willing to gently meet us where we are, to reach down with a gentle hand. He's ready to lift us up and restore us in our relationship with Him. Jesus is seeking fellowship with you today, and He's willing to come down to where you are and meet you there and gently lift you up to where you need to be in God's kingdom. You don't need to reach for Jesus. He's right there. Just put your hand in His hand and He'll lift you up. Jesus didn't intend to rebuke Peter, but to gently restore him. He asked three times because Peter had denied him three times, and there had to be total cleansing, body, soul, and spirit. Imagine someone lying in a hospital bed running a high fever. Their body is being ravished by a hidden infection. On the surface, things might not look too serious, but underneath, bacteria are multiplying, poisoning the bloodstream, threatening life itself. Now imagine the doctor arrives with a course of powerful antibiotics. These aren't just bandages. They don't just numb the pain or lower the fever temporarily. They go deep, targeting the infection at its root, attacking the bacteria, cleansing the body from the inside out. That's what God's forgiveness does. It doesn't just treat the symptoms of sin. It's not a spiritual Tylenol. It's a radical cleansing grace that reaches into the deepest place of our lives, places where guilt and shame have been festering, and brings healing. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Forgiveness doesn't just mean you're not in trouble anymore. It means God is restoring your soul, purifying your heart, rewriting your story. Just like the antibiotics cleanse the bloodstream, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. He doesn't want to just patch us up. He wants to make us whole. You know, when Jesus said, "Feed my sheep," Peter was recommissioned with God's plan for his life. Peter had gone dormant. Jesus couldn't leave him that way. Too much was at stake. He had work to do. Too many Christians have gone dormant. We've been out fishing when we should have been paying attention to our society, doing what God wants us to, reach people for Him. While we've ignored our responsibilities to be Christ fishers of men and women, our world has slipped clear away from God and Christian decency and is going to hell faster and faster every day. Let me tell you that I am a born-again Christian and I'm on my way to heaven, and I cannot condone or ignore the direction our society is going today. I'm going to say some things pretty blunt, but I think they need to be said. I hope you are a Christian too. I hope you have some God-given convictions in your life, giving you direction to what God wants for you. Let's look at and clarify some of the issues we're facing in our world today that Christians need to take a stand on. Now, I said I'm going to be blunt. I'm not trying to make you mad, but what I am trying to do is just like what a doctor would do if he uncovers cancer in your body. He's going to tell you what is and tell you how to take care of it if it's possibly to take care of. Some of the issues we are facing in our world today is time that we come out from among them and be separate, just like the Bible tells us. We must take a stand for Jesus Christ. We can no longer just be dormant, just ignore the situations around us. We need to stand up because there's so much depending upon the Christian witness today. Look at some of the issues Christians have let dominate our society today. Gay marriage, which is a family unit, is at stake there. Abortion, transgender butchering, morals and decency. Let me give you a thought. You are not a born-again Christian if you vote for a person or a party that pushes these things. God is not willing that we compromise like that. How can a God-fearing Christian vote for destruction of life and butchering bodies created in God's image? You say, "Pastor, now you're getting into politics." That is not politics. Gas prices, food prices, the border, those are politics. Abortion is not politics. That's human life. Gay marriage is not politics. That's a violation of Holy Scripture. Transgender butchering is not politics. That's satanic effort to screw the image of God in precious children. People, we need to come back to Christ and get on our Christian values reinstated again. God is saying, do you love me? I will say this, if you vote for a personality rather than the issues, you've missed your Christian responsibility. And I would beg you, if you are a Christian, take a stand for God. We need to come to Jesus and answer his question, do you love me? Are you even my friend? You know, I wonder sometimes with Jesus, if he comes and he is going to come in the rapture, and will you be able to make eye contact with Jesus when he comes because of some of the decisions that you're making today? Jesus had to find Peter and bring him back in line. Is he looking for you too? Jesus is looking for genuine, saved Christians today who know they are born again and part of the family of God. He's begging us to get back in line with God's will. When Jesus said goodbye to Peter that day, Jesus probably leaned toward Peter and whispered in his ear, "Follow me." That is his message for you and for me today too. Peter was refitted and recommissioned and ready for Pentecost. After that time on the beach and the prayer time in the upper room when God filled his people with the Holy Spirit, Peter preached his sermon and 3,000 people came to know the Lord. Let me ask you, are you ready to meet Jesus on the beach today? Are you ready to let not only ask God to forgive you your sins, but let the Holy Spirit fill you and use you for God's purpose? Let me please beg to you to say, don't put it off. If you need Jesus Christ today, repent, confess your sins to him, ask him to be your Savior and your Lord, and pick up your mantle and begin to live the Christian life God wants you to live. Don't be willing to compromise and ignore the things that are destroying our nation today, destroying our people today. Take a stand for Jesus Christ and be what Christ means for you to be. I want to pray with you. Dear Jesus, please help us today that we might really put on the full armor of God. We might stand for you against the wiles of the devil. Lord, that we'll quit being compromising all the time and we'll take a stand. We've got family, we've got friends that are going to spend an eternity in hell if we don't somehow reach them for Jesus Christ. And so, God, I pray today that you'll give each one of us a burden that we might live for you and speak for you and be all that you want us to be and quit fooling around just ignoring the things that Satan is doing to destroy lives. God, help us not only to ask for forgiveness of past sins, but ask you to fill us with your Holy Spirit and make us the people you want us to be and need us to be. Lord, help us to be able to say, yes, Lord, I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you want to get in contact with me, you know, you can write to me at lowercase revwmwoods@gmail.com. Or you can call me at 623-845-2741. Now, to be honest, I get so many spam calls that I don't answer every call. So if you'll leave me a message when it asks you if you want to leave a message, then I will listen to that and I'll get back to you if you have a need. And I would once again recommend to you, go to my website, churchofthegalilean.com. And listen to the sermons clear back to April of 2020. God bless you. I hope you're having a good day. And I hope you're willing to say to Jesus, yes, Jesus, I love you with all my heart. God bless.